Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Talk, a No Facts All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
I think I just really astounded my co-hosts. Like, they were so impressed with what I just did.
Well, you usually, went into it so fast.
Yeah, usually before we start, you take, like, a deep breath, and you, like, usually do, like, a whole stretch, and then you, like, get into your whole thing. You started the podcast between one word and the next. That was crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's because I've been trying to corral everyone for a while, but it wasn't working.
I've been filibustering for the past 20 minutes.
You don't want to do our podcast?
Should we start the podcast? And then we're like, and another thing. One more.
I said I can't give them one more inch of wiggle room. I'm trapping them. And look, and because once they hear the magic words of "Welcome to Tunnel Talk," there's no way out. You're in the elven realm now. The fairies gotcha.
It activates us. It's like Manchurian candidates. Like, oh, yeah. Podcast mode. Here I am.
How are you guys doing this week?
My raging case of coronavirus is getting better, so that's fun.
Ann's recovering from COVID. I have had a double ear infection all week. But Leah's fine.
I was fine.
Leah's thriving.
Again, yeah. as we said, stools need one healthy leg to stand.
Stools need one healthy leg. Stools are self-healing. The legs, they can be in bad shape or they can be in good shape. But
as long as one
is in good shape.
That's all you need.
That's a new folk wisdom that we're debuting tonight on the pod. Podcast business. Let's get this out of the way up front. Listeners, you know that All In fast approacheth. I believe it is next Sunday. That doesn't really seem possible. Yeah. But it is. Anne, you have beloved family coming to town.
Family's visiting, so I'm going to be taken out of the podcast rotation.
Taken out. Anne has been removed, forcibly removed from the podcast rotation. We will be welcoming a special guest to the podcast in Anne's place. Should we say who the guest is, or should we let them guess?
Should we just say it's a renowned cyberbully of the podcast?
Yes. Yes.
Pretty excited about that.
Yes. A friend and yet villain.
A friend and yet a tormentor,
kind of a beloved frenemy will be visiting the podcast and unpacking All In with us. We are extremely excited.
I'm sad that I won't be there for that one.
we're gonna have to do some more. It's the cyberbully unnamed is from our beloved Social Suplex Network. We're gonna have to do some more crossover pods in future. We're gonna have to, you know.
Yeah, gotta spread around
so that we can all mix and mingle.
Yeah,
but that's our fun announcement. You can speculate amongst yourselves. Leah, it's your week to be happy, and I guess you've been doing it.
Yeah.
Are you care to share?
Are you happy about how your ears and throat and lungs
feel? Yeah, Leah, are you fucking happy?
My beloved, you know what makes me happy? My beloved friends being so nice to me.
Well, you get what you give, baby.
All right, so I've been in, like, a pretty good mood the past 2 weeks, but I still, like, was sitting here being like, what single, like, object noun is, like, I'm so bad at this. I find it so incredibly difficult, but I will say that. This past weekend, we went to two best friends and I went to my parents' beach house in Rhode Island and stayed for the weekend. And I have gotten better as I get older about sunscreening. And I literally never in my life remember to put sunscreen on my lips. Never, ever, ever. Yeah. Mm. And so, of course, I come home with a cold sore developing, like whatever, which I always get when it gets sunscreen out.
And you're happy about it.
Always, always. Yeah, this is my happiness segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really like having cold sores. Are you guys aware? This is what's making me happy right now. I've just been like pleased about it all day. That urgent care now has telehealth appointments. Mm. And it was like one of the greatest moments. I found a telehealth appointment at urgent care an hour after I started looking. I logged on to Zoom. A man came on and he verified
a man.
I willingly spoke to a man, and you know I don't like to do that.
I know that.
I was like, hey, can I have the cold sore pills? And he was like, yeah. And then I got off the Zoom, and by the time like I'd poured like another cup of coffee, it was at CVS.
Wow.
I love that. You know, I think that my health insurance has been trying to, like, pitch me on the telehealth urgent care. Like, they send me stuff in the mail sometimes being like, what if you took advantage of this service? And before this past couple of weeks, I really tried not to go to the doctor, so I hadn't. But I'll keep it in mind in future. What I will say, during the early pandemic, you remember when I got tonsillitis like a little baby, the same way I had these ear infections like a little fucking baby? they were doing telehealth then because they didn't want you to come in with COVID. Yeah. And I was impressed that they diagnosed me with tonsillitis. They just made me send them a picture of the inside of my mouth. So absolutely nasty. And I was staying with my parents at the time. So that's like one of my treasured COVID memories is like, I'm so sick, like a baby, going into the living room being like, Mom, I can't get a good picture of the inside of my mouth. Can you take a picture? And she goes, okay, well, open up. And then she looked and she was like, wow, that's nasty. Like, she's like, it's bad in there. Ew. Disgusting. And then they gave me the meds. So we've come a long way, baby. We have.
We've really come a long way.
We have. That pandemic really pushed telehealth forward. I tell you, I work for a healthcare, electronic healthcare record, and people put in a lot of effort to stand up telehealth in 2020. I don't know
how I ever lived without it. The fact that I no longer have to go to my mental health appointments wearing
pants.
Yes,
that's really the big thing. That's really the big thing. I love to get my, every 3 months or whatever, my psych, who I won't speak ill of in public, I guess, call me on phone, usually 15 minutes before my appointment. So I think that's fun. And then he just says, you liking the meds? And I say, yep, still liking them. And he says, okay, I'll just put those in. Need anything else? That's the end.
Okay, well... That's a real I would not caring. Say.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not really making the argument for telehealth. I would say that seems like the
but
argument
wouldn't,
against it.
Wouldn't you be angrier? Because I did used to have to go see him in person. Wouldn't you be angrier if you had to drive 20 minutes and wait in a waiting room for that to happen?
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah. No, I... Of course, no. I'm just like... my psych makes me, first of all, be on video, and second of all, she's like makes me like respond to disgusting statements like, "Have you sat with your thoughts lately?" And you know,
why should I?
I know. She's always like, "I need you to take more walks without podcasts." I'm like, for what?
I don't think so. Well, I don't see that happening.
I know it. Y'all want to talk about wrestling?
That's a kind of a good transition because somebody out there. We could just keep doing a little
telehealth out here.
Somebody out there may be on a walk right now with us in their ears, and maybe they just thought, like, wow, I'm so grateful that I'm not walking with my own thoughts, and that instead I'm walking with the Tunnel Dog Girls. And if you are out there, we salute you, and we are just like you.
Yeah. We're chasing away those thoughts just as quickly as you are.
Yeah. You're on a walk or on a commute or doing your dishes, you know?
Whatever you're doing, we're happy to have you. Just going into some smooth jazz. Late nights with the Tunnel Dog Girls. Whatever you're doing, we're happy to be there with you.
This is Delilah. Let's talk.
Well, I guess we've simply got to discuss wrestling. As they open Dynamite, so too shall they open Tunnel Talk. Mercedes and Sheeta fought this week. Was this? I think that Trish said she thought this was the first time a women's match ever opened the show. Is that true?
I mean, it feels right.
I can't think of another time. They've closed a few times, but they've never closed a few times.
And I mean, it's pretty rare for them not to be at 9:20, to be honest. So, like, opening the show. And at this point, like, when the show opened and I didn't hear MJF's music, I was a little startled. And then, I mean,
wow. I have to say. Listen, we're not gonna spend a ton of time shitting on MJF tonight, and we'll just check in on him really briefly later. But I was really worried about what was gonna happen to us when we tuned into Dynamite this week, and Mercedes and Camille coming out to open the show. It was like the universe was saying, "It's gonna be okay, girls.
Yeah,
you're gonna have a nice time tonight." And I really did. I had a really nice night.
I had a great time.
Yeah,
it was the first time in a while I said that was an enjoyable episode of Dynamite.
Yeah, but I saw all kinds of things I liked and hardly anything I didn't like.
I saw lots of things I liked, but I know that I'm really like kind of like a mean grizzled wrestling vet now because I want to be very, very clear. Tony, do not take credit for my pleasure this week, okay? If you turned your ass around and did things differently because everyone was yelling at you, it's not a win for you, okay? We are back at baseline. So I don't want to hear any boasting or bragging about, oh, you guys thought you weren't having fun, but then look who had fun. No. Things changed this week. We changed it up, and that's all. We're back to baseline. It's not a win. Okay?
Yeah.
Win for me, not for you.
We have to keep him humble.
Absolutely.
And he listens. I mean, our opinion means the world to him, obviously.
Every week he tunes in, he says, "Why don't they send me a plaque? They send all my wrestlers plaques. They've never given me a damn plaque even once." Well, maybe if you book it good for a month.
He opens the mail excitedly, like, "Ooh, who did the Tunnel Talk send a plaque to this week?" And it's like, oh, it's just Matt Jackson again.
Just imagining that he has to be the mailman and go around and hand the plaques out, like, when the Mean Girls buying the flowers, like you buy the candy and stuff. Well, you know what I mean.
Do you remember being a little kid? I remember being a little kid and being like, why does Dad get all the mail? It's like all bills, you know, that's Tony Khan with the plaques.
he's really downtrodden. He has to hand out the plaques, but then he does still have his stack of bills, which could be bigger. Cause there's more things I want you to pay for, Tony. And I wish you would just give me the card.
I wish you would just, please, I would spend Tony's money so much better.
So good.
So much more fun.
So much better.
And I wouldn't spend it even extravagantly, I don't think. Like, there's lots of things that I would buy that don't cost that much, but the pleasure they would bring is immeasurable.
I might spend it a little bit extravagantly.
What's the most extravagant thing you would buy?
The Lucha Brothers.
That's not that extravagant. How extravagant can that be? A couple of tag teams? There's just two tag teams.
How much can one banana cost, Michael?
I have Tony's Amex, and then in my shopping cart is just full of tag teams. I'm like, Motor City Machine Guns are getting in there. I put MXM on the main lineup. Yeah.
You hand Tony his card back, and you're like, just bought a couple of things. And he's like looking at the receipt, and he's like, okay, so we got some so we got some tag teams, and how did the sit down go? And you go, what sit down? And he's like, well, you haggled, right? You haggled for them.
It's like, this is what the price tag said, Tony. Just to be sure. Just to be sure they wouldn't, WWE could not undercut us.
I mean, they made me an offer, and I just added a zero. That's just what felt right.
I couldn't refuse.
It's called redistribution of wealth, Tony Khan. This is like how, is it CM Punk who's having this, like, fantasy, he's leaking that WWE came to him to renegotiate to give him more money?
They were so happy with his merch sales and his numbers that they came to him to give him more money. And I think we all heard that and said, that's how companies work. That's exactly what they do.
And then my company's already the whole bus clapped.
They're like, we kind of had you locked in for 3 years at this salary, but we'd love to just double it, you know, just if you're willing.
God, we're just so worried about losing you to TNA that we just gotta make sure you're happy, Mr. Punk. Yeah, okay. And other fantasies and other capitalist fantasies. Wow. What a little aside. Okay. So, Mercedes comes out. She's got her beautiful knight Camille with her. She's fighting Sheeta. I loved this match, and I thought this was like the most fun. Like, I've liked Mercedes's other matches, but the way she was selling like a character in this match was the best that I feel like I've seen from her. Yeah. I loved it.
I think we've seen it like a number of times to the point where someone somewhere is gonna be like, "Yeah, stupid." It's like a really common trope, but I like so much when the champ comes into the ring all cocky and is like, "Yeah, just another squash, you know me," and then it's like, "Oh shit, this is hard."
Fuck. She got me running.
Yeah, I totally enjoy Mercedes' character, like, in this, like, heel, now that she's, like, clearly heel CEO being over the top and stuff. It's just so fun. And Camille is so fun with her. Like, I love that she's got a muscle hunk behind her. It's so good.
And it helps to kind of pierce the, like, Buffy bot of it all, you know, where it's like, you know, she does all these really practiced catchphrases, and then you catch her, like, making a genuine face at Camille, and you're like, oh, you are a person.
It's so sweet. It's like, I really liked Mercedes. I was having fun, but, like, when she got in her Buffy bot mode, it would be like, oh, Mercedes, you don't have to do this. You can just do something else right now. But now I feel like I'm getting everything that I want. Every time I see her with Camille, and I think, wow, you're beautiful night girlfriend. Your beautiful protectress who has pledged her fealty to you and who will lay down her life for yours. It's like, I think, and you're the most beautiful princess in the world, and you can fight, but you shouldn't have to when she's there to protect you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's what I like.
That's what perfect. I like. What else are you going to do?
Simpy dimpy.
There was a moment in this match where, like, Mercedes, I think Camille had come up to the apron. And, like, Mercedes fell into the ropes and made this face at Camille that was like, what the fuck is happening here? I just found that so charming. And I was like, you know what? This works for me.
I think it's great. I'm really happy with it. Mercedes did she do some, like, cheating, or, like, did someone distract the ref? Or there was some interference with Camille that kind of, like...
Camille had a kendo stick, and... No. Sheeta had the kendo stick and hit Camille with it. And then Mercedes grabbed the kendo stick out of Sheeta's hand, and then the ref was like, okay, she can use the kendo stick on someone not in the match, but you can't use the kendo stick on someone in the match, which I was, like, very proud of myself for figuring out what was going on.
You really got that, yeah.
Thank you so much. And then something happened from there.
Something happened. But anyway, Mercedes won the match. I won't worry too much about that. And afterwards, Britt's music hit, and Camille immediately is a guard dog and is running up the ramp like, oh, I'm going to get her. I will never let her near you. Like, I'm, like, swooning like, oh, Camille, protect her. And Camille is looking around for Britt, and she just finds someone in a sting mask at the front of the crowd and pulls them over the barrier and is socking them and laying into them. And then you cut to Britt just walking through the crowd.
Unbothered.
Beautiful. And I don't think we ever cut back to that kayfabe normal fan who just got pulled out of the audience and accosted, which I love.
It's so funny to think of the kayfabe thing where you're like, I'm such a big Sting fan. I'm going to wear my Sting mask as I sit ringside for my favorite promotion. This is the best day of my life. Oh, and Camille is here. She's coming over to me. What's going to happen next? I love it. It's I love it like, so much.
That's the long time, but also just fell off the back of a turnip truck wrestling fan.
It is a little bit like the kid who MJF accidentally threw vodka in their face. It's like, I just wouldn't wear, be careful around those heels, you know? Anything could happen.
If they're coming towards you, you should be scared. You should never be happy. You should always be scared. Mm-hmm. You're not going to like what they do. And then Britt jumped into the ring to try and lockjaw Mercedes, but Camille saved Mercedes. Mwah, mwah. And Manolo said, Mercedes versus Baker is now official for All In. It has been for a month. No?
I don't think it's official, but I think it was understood.
Well, I thought she challenged her in front of Tony Khan at Comic-Con. Like,
yeah.
Am I
Did they get the graphic? I don't think they got the whole graphic thing.
Fine. So you want me to give Manolo credit for this? You think I should? No, I will. If you say I should, I will. I will.
Well, my lover, good. Manolo.
Good work. Oh, my God. Good work, wow. Manolo.
Now that she's lost Eric Beeston, she's...
I know. Manolo's it's like, does he know that you've moved on? No, and he never will.
He never will. My WWE boyfriend?
I don't know about
WWE?
I don't know why every time Eric Beeston comes up, I imagine him ensconced in, like, an old school, like, man cave, like, in his armchair. And I imagine you, like, coming downstairs to be like, Eric, are you having a nice night? And he never is watching his wrestling. And he just is, ugh.
It's like, the Bucks are on my TV again, so no. The Bucks are on TV.
Meanwhile, I have internalized both Eric and Manolo as the three of our imaginary friends. And so I get so startled when someone like brings a tweet from Eric Beeston in, or like someone mentions Manolo. Someone in the Social Suplex Discord is always like, Manolo's recaps are the only thing that's good about Cage Side Seats. And I'm like, you know him?
You're like, you can read those? All right. Is there anything else we want to say about this match? I had a really nice time, and I'm so happy. I think that segment has made this clear. Any thoughts on the Britt Mercedes build?
They're doing a good job.
It's been good. Like, not great, but good. You know? So, like...
Medium.
Yeah.
It's medium fine. Good.
What's weird is that I'm like, well, it's like a fairly normal build, which I guess is strange for AEW. Lately, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, this is usually how builds
they're
go.
They're kind of hitting just all the normal really beats. Just that they don't do that anymore.
Right. Yeah. I think it's been, as I like to say, perfectly serviceable. So no real complaints. I will be more than happy to see them fight. It was nice to see Sheeta again. Wearing a costume that I can't entirely endorse, but I love her so much. I love her so much, and I've never loved a single, what are they called? Costume. It's not costume.
Gear.
I've never loved any of her gear.
She's so beautiful, and she always wears something so weird.
It's so funny for her thing to be like, I'm a giant hunk with amazing charisma and perfect wrestling skills, and I will never be dressed normally. Like, I'm terrible fashion taste.
No. I think, I think it's quite a sweet character note. Once you internalize it as a purposeful character note, you're like, that's great. I've never liked the gear, and I never will. I love you, Sheeta. Should we move on to the men? Should we talk about the... We have to. We have no choice but to talk about the men. Danielson and Swerve. Well, so this week on Twitter, Tony Khan hopped on to tell us to get really, 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 really excited because... Bryan Danielson literally could be about to... Guys, he could literally be about to retire. This could be the end of one of the greatest careers of all time. And Tony made a little present for him. And what was the present?
It was a little career retrospective set, two Green Days. had the time of your life.
The only way it could have been more pathetic is if it was to I Will Remember You instead.
Oh, that's really right. I feel like that would be writer.
Yeah.
In his heart, Tony wanted to do like a Sarah McLachlan I Will Remember You where he's like, it's pictures of him and Brian Danielson.
He was in the video. I went back and rewatched it, and there was he's in there hugging Brian Danielson at one point in Gorilla. This was so funny. It was so funny that he promoed it ahead of time. It was like, and he was like, "We got Green Day. You're gonna want to see this fan vid. You're gonna want to see it.
You're gonna want to see our Green Day fan vid."
And then it was. I mean, I'm like around the same age as these guys, and it is like, yeah, there were a lot of like end of high school videos set to the song for sure. I mean, it does look like Brian Danielson's graduating, but he's not even retiring.
No.
We all know, I think that's the thing that's, you only merely can laugh at this point. It's like, nobody thinks Brian Danielson is retiring. Nobody thinks that. Like, TK's vibe is like, it's make-believe and anything could happen and something crazy could happen. He could never come back. And it's like, that won't happen. Tony, I didn't just fall off the back of a turnip truck.
It's so funny, too, because, like, Sting's retirement video, like, I felt genuinely very emotional, even though I had not seen most of it. But with Danielson, it was, like, between the... And it was, like, a pretty good vid watching it, but it was just, like, he's just going down to, like, halftime. Like, what are we doing here? He's not dying.
That's the thing. The Sting vid was almost, like, directly before the match that we knew was his last match. So it did feel very, like, very... meaningful. This one, I'm like, you're just fucking with me. You're trying, like, this is manipulative.
Yeah. And it didn't even work.
No.
Anyway.
No, it made me a little crazy because I was like, listen, if you want to, if we're going to start airing fan vids, the Bucks had their 20-year anniversary. You could have played the one Allie made for me.
You could have played the beautiful video that I made.
You could have played Roller Coaster.
Yeah, people would have had emotions to that one.
Oh, this not willing to pay the Jonas Brothers the same way that you pay Green Day? Yes, I do think it might be better to give Green Day money than to give the Jonas Brothers money. But...
I mean, when you put it that way. Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you follow the equation to its natural conclusion, at the same time, just give Joe the money. Give Joe Jonas the money and play my vid on TV, TK. Thank you. All right. Oh, okay. So then Danielson was on the sidelines in the crowd while Swerve and Yuta fought in the main event. Danielson tried his hand. Now, guys, he's never done it before. Okay? So he really tried to do some face acting. What'd you think?
He did. It wasn't amazing, but it was there for sure.
Yeah. It was, hey, listen, for somebody's first time at it, for somebody's debut.
He's barely been in the business for a month.
Hey, that's the best in the world. That's the other. That's the other guy. What is the greatest of all time?
I don't know. I don't know. He's neither.
It's so hard to tell these ROH men apart. You know, it's just like I can't keep track of it.
It's just man, face, beard, blood.
I just see 2005 Live Journal, and I'm like, okay.
Someone write that down for a t-shirt idea. Man face, beard, butt.
Man door, hand car hook door.
What goes into good wrestling? Yeah, I know. I know the four things that go into good wrestling.
What did I even say? Man hand, beard,
man hair, face. Beard.
Man face, man, beard, butt.
Yeah.
So we got one of these new guys came out. He's a classic man face beard butt. Okay. I thought this was funny. And I think you should say this because you said it best. We had nice time, which made it better.
Yeah. This whole thing, I was like, I felt so much warmer towards the Swerve Danielson storyline because I had a great time in the rest of Dynamite. And it's just like, this has been bad build and is for the main event, so that's bad, and it's not selling Wembley tickets, so that's bad. But like, honestly, like a lot of wrestling storylines are bad, and I have a pretty high tolerance for it as long as like the bulk of the show is good. So I was very like, oh, like there he is face acting. It's not, you know, it's not doing a lot, but it's doing something. It's not nothing. So, you know, I just felt warm.
Yeah, I don't think he I don't really know what he wanted to communicate. What I thought he communicated, which I said to some, was that he was at his child's soccer game and slowly getting tenser and tenser because he was disappointed in his child in a way where he was going to try not to show it, but Yuta was going to be in the backseat of the car the whole way home being like, my dad would love me more if I could play soccer. And that's what I thought he was giving. And I thought, I don't think that's what he means to be giving. I think he may mean to be communicating that he's worried for Yuta's health and well-being, but I thought that my narrative was richer.
No, I think that's right. And I wish I could think of who it was like, the whole point of doing a match like that is that, like Yuta gets dangerously, like, hurt so that, like, you get to have Bryan Danielson be like, oh, my God, my son, the way that Ospreay cradled Kyle.
Yeah, which he did in the Twitter promo, but that was not on the air.
Yeah. I haven't seen it even. I know that's the bad match, behavior for a podcaster, but
the match itself, it was just like Yuta did a great job of wrestling and he tried his very best and Bryan Danielson was just tense.
Said he's never gonna go to the major leagues. I guess I just always thought I had a son who would. I guess I thought that my son would do some things that I was never able to do, but I'm starting to realize that he won't.
He did also, to be fair, he did do some glaring at Swerve at the start, which was nice that he saw that Swerve was there. That's, you know.
Yes, he recognized Swerve's presence. He did jump into the ring to save Yuta from Swerve was beating him up after he won, and Swerve hit the ramp and cut another. I mean, it was really good. Glowering promo where he was like, Bryan, I hope your family is going to come to All In and I hope they get to see when I fucking kill you. I hope they watch. I hope your family watches me murder you live on TV, PPV. And Bryan then was like bending to check on Yuta, which again, it's like amazing that you remembered you have a son. You did you've abandoned him for years. I mean, it's like you just walked back into his life. He's 18. He's at college. He doesn't need you anymore. But it fine.
The vibe is a little bit Bryan's like, yeah, and then I'm going to watch, you know, Wheeler match about Russell, and someone's like, Wheeler? And he's like, yeah, that's him.
Yeah, my son.
My son.
And then Swerve shimmied on back to the ring, and he house-called Bryan Danielson. He kicked him, and he kicked him, and he was really, really mean about it. And then he did one of the most powerful things I feel like I've seen in quite some time on wrestling, where everyone was having so fun. Everyone was having so much fun in the crowd doing Bryan Danielson's yes chant. And then Swerve just really slowly raised his arms in a really mocking, like, yes. And the crowd's energy, it genuinely, to me, it was like puppet master behavior, where he was like, I can make you do anything. I know you know this isn't nice and you shouldn't do it, but you're going to. And the crowd was like, it's not nice and we shouldn't do it, but we're going to. I was actually quite impressed the whole way through that match. I was like, wow, he has the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
They want Danielson dead. They want that old man obliterated.
I was having a thought this week listening. I think I was listening to One Nation Radio and had the thought that, like, do you remember when, like, Swerve, Hangman, and Joe were, like, feuding and, like, it kept being like you'd forget that Joe was in the ring because Swerve and Hangman only had their eyes for each other. It's like we're doing that again, except the parts of Swerve and Hangman are being played by Bryan Danielson and Jeff Jarrett. And instead of instead of forgetting that, like, he's in the ring, Swerve is instead having his own other compelling feud and is completely ignoring it. I'm like, that would have been so funny if that happened with Joe, where Joe was like, all right, enough about that. Hey, I'm going to have my own, like, run my own feud over here.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. It has been making me wonder. It's like, So, dude, Danielson and Tony Khan, like, are they just thinking of this as, like, the storyline is Danielson's retirement and, like Swerve's not involved? Like, because it is, like, he's doing, like, a like less so this week, at least. But up to this point, it's just, like, you guys know he has an opponent, right?
I think it's interesting because it's, like, Danielson did more this week. But at the same time, as you've said, he didn't do anything that really said, like, I care about who my opponent is. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even really do anything that was like, I care about the belt. Even though, not to get insider baseball on our dumb girls podcast, but I know that, like, Dave was on the Observer. No, what do they call it when they talk? Wrestling? Observer Network? You know, when they do the radio, when they do their wrestling radio, that Dave was like, no, Danielson, like, did give that interview saying that he didn't want the belt, but that was shoot, but in kayfabe, he does want the belt. And it's like, not that he has showed me. I haven't really seen any evidence of that. And I know that, like, and again, I haven't seen the promo he did online afterwards, so I'm sorry. But I just think that if Bryan Danielson this whole time has been like, this is the storyline I'm doing. It's that I may be forced to retire, but then I won't. I instead will continue to wrestle. And he thinks that's a really good storyline. It's not. It's a really selfish storyline to me. Like, I just actually felt, I don't know, I got kind of emotional about it last night where I'm like, that's so shitty. This is like the big, like, flagship pay-per-view with the most people, and like, mm-hmm. Swerve has done a lot of, like, really good work in this reign. I think, and you mentioned this last week, that it's like, we've really seen him. He already was great at talking and, like, mm-hmm. his whole, what am I trying to say? His whole deal? Whatever. Anyway, but it's like, he's like, beefed up his whole mm-hmm. deal. Like, he's better at everything that he was already good at. And he's worked really hard, and he hasn't really gotten any, like, good feuds except for Hangman, who was out for a lot of it. And Bryan Danielson is going to take the belt off him. It, like, really seems like that's what's going to happen, and none of it is about him, and Bryan Danielson hasn't, like, acknowledged him literally once. Like, it kind of blows. It's, like, really a bummer. It's a fucking bummer.
It's crazy too, because I think part of what Dave said was, like, Bryan Danielson out of kayfabe, like, doesn't want a belt. And he was like, he's never wanted a belt. He just wants to put young guys over. But in kayfabe, he doesn't. He's like, well, he's extremely not putting Swerve over. Because he's not helping him at all. He's dead weight. And Swerve is, like, dragging his mm-hmm. limp body up a mountain, you know?
I mean, I guess you build muscles that way. But at what cost?
I mean, so in that way, he is helping.
Bryan Danielson just really zen, getting hauled up the mountain, is like, this is good for you. This is really good for you.
Yeah, I don't know that I really buy that, like, you know. I mean, I do think that Bryan Danielson is a very nice person. Like, I'm not trying to cast whatever. But I am sort of like, oh, you want to put young guys over? Then why wasn't Yuta in anything you did in the last month? He probably would have really benefited if you had dragged him into that. It really would have benefited. I get that it's complicated with Dana Garcia because he's like, Tony's not trying to push people who aren't signed. But, like, Yuta, Yuta could be here.
Leah, if while you have Tony's card, could you just throw Garcia in the cart?
Hey, I'll find him a tag team. Maybe I'll make him a tag partner with Yuta, and then he'll fit into my theme.
I'm going to say, maybe I'll make him a special tag team partner. Maybe I'll create a man.
Hey, I'll take him speed dating.
Maybe I'll just go to the Build-A-Bear for Wrestlers, and I'll put together such a nice man for him to have as a tag team partner.
Yeah, and this was when we're two, where, like, watching Swerve and Yuta, I was like, I had such a good time in the match. They were both so much fun. I like both of them a lot. And I was like, why hasn't Swerve been wrestling, like, all, you know, Claudio also? Like, we could have been doing this these last few weeks instead of, like, all this Jeff Jarrett stuff. That we're putting Jeff Jarrett over. Right. Not a young guy.
It would have made the whole summer so much more enjoyable if all of the insanity we saw with Jeff Jarrett was taking place with, like, even if Mox is unavailable, like, Claudio, I would have more fun.
Please.
Guys, it's not Jeff Jarrett's fault that he pops the demo.
Everyone knows it. Everyone's looked at the numbers all the time.
And we are citing our friend Trish from Trish and Sarah on that.
She said explicitly, she said no one has ever popped a demo the way that Jarrett has.
She said he brings the money.
He brings the money in. Tony has no choice but to get him on screen. I'm sorry, Jeff Jarrett. It's really not your fault, and I'm not mad at you, but it's crazy, though. I'm mad at someone. You'll have to guess who, but his name starts with a T and ends with an N at the other end of the last name.
Should we bleep that? Give that away?
Please bleep that. I don't want people to know.
We can't give our secret biases away.
Oh my god. Speaking of Jeff Jarrett, maybe we just do a little quick check-in. Hangman was fighting Jay Lethal this week because of Jeff Jarrett, kind of, I think. And Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay Dutt were having a backstage interview with Renee, which actually was pretty funny and reinforced for me. Leah, I think you said this a couple of weeks ago. You were like, I had really started to kind of just like those guys accidentally as a faction. And I was like, yeah, I do like them as a faction. I just wish that Jeff Jarrett wasn't at the top of the card every week right now. But Hangman interrupted that to start wailing on Jay Lethal, and then that went into their match, and they did the match. He wailed on him, and he did win the match. Is there anything else that happened there that's pertinent?
I think did Jay Lethal say in this promo he was like, Hangman, your obsession with Swerve is like, it was basically like ruining our lives backstage. I forget exactly what he said, but the implication was very like, we are all sick and tired of you walking around destroying things because you're so bad at Swerve.
You're right. And that was incredibly funny. And it was so fun to think again about the rich backstage atmosphere where it's like Hangman is just on a rampage every damn week being like, oh, I've got to get my hands on that guy. And everyone else is being like, please stop stomping around this way. People are trying to eat. You keep knocking stuff out of our hands. Like, we can't live this way. It's not demure, as they would say on TikTok.
The energy you're bringing is really stressing us all out, man.
If you keep breaking tables, we're not going to have anywhere to sit. The other absolutely perfect moment in this match was Hangman did this whole hammy theatrical thing where he bit his lip and then he was like really being like, oh my god, is he gonna start bleeding? It's gonna be, oh my god, that'll be crazy. And so he's doing a little bit of ham stuff at that, and I think it was Excalibur, it might have been Tony Schiavone, was like, you know, he might have slit his lip, and if he tastes blood, maybe he'll start thinking about, and then he like weirdly trailed off and was like, well, anyway. And then like I was like, I'm sorry, are you suggesting that it might be a liability in the middle of this match for him to taste blood and think of the last person who bled into his mouth and he'll just lose the match because he'll be so mad? Oh my god.
Okay, Richard Sykin over there on commentary.
Just everyone backstage being like, those two, I mean, the taste of blood in his mouth is definitely reminding him of some stuff.
You know, I love every now and then, it's like you'll be listening to someone in wrestling, like, hear the moment where they say something like, wow, is that what we do? Is that what we sound like? And it's like every damn week, every damn week. Some of you know it, but some of you only know it sometimes. Okay, I think that's all. We don't know what Hangman is going to do at Wembley. Do we
officially?
But we.
There's rumors of the gauntlet, and I think there's rumors of him and Jeff Jarrett having singles match.
Yes. Well, I know how badly he wants to get those mitts of his on Jeff Jarrett's hunked out body. before Jarrett.
Maybe it is kind of crazy that they haven't announced some matches for Wembley yet. It's like it's 9 days out here, so.
Yeah. I'd lock him down. That's just me. So maybe, Tony, what if we just threw that in the cart, just with the other stuff? He's like, you can't buy Wembley matches. Money cannot buy you a Wembley match. We're like, well, what if it could? What if it was on the website?
Hey, Tony, what about, what if a Wembley match could buy you money? What if it goes the other way, actually?
Oh, my God. Mm. And we could get kind of a, the money don't come out, it go in, because you put the, when you put the right match in the cart, you get a discount that you wouldn't believe. This is how Donald Trump sounds every single week.
What a life. I did like Emmy saying that you girls, we're going to have to start learning how to say the electric atmosphere of global life.
I feel like we're going to have to come up with something. I mean, to be fair, actually, we should be really transparent about this. Manolo came up with the electric atmosphere. I would never want to take that from him. It's the funniest thing he's ever said, and that's really saying something. And I think he fished his wish, because I think he did want to see the Acclaimed versus the Bucks in the electric atmosphere of Wembley Stadium. So,
oh, he did. That's right.
And I scoffed at the time. I was like, that could never be what would happen in the electric atmosphere of Wembley Stadium. But oh, how the egg is dripping down my face.
Well, it's like, we're in a place where it's like, please, for the love of God, give me the Acclaimed versus the Bucks. Because if FTR are there, I'm going to KMS.
Yeah.
It's real hard. Fucking over for me. Well, I think we've got to move on, because time only can tell what will happen with the man hangman. Does that sound right? But did I miss anything that you wanted to say about him? Mm-hmm. Looked good. He really looked hungry good. Guy.
Still beautiful loving guy. That Flavortown gear.
Absolutely love the Flavortown gear. He could take me there any day on a motorcycle, on a motorbike.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Speaking of the Bucks and FT claimed. Speaking of the Bucks and FT claimed, the Bucks fought the Acclaimed on Dynamite this week, and FTR interrupted, causing the Bucks to win via DQ. The Acclaimed were really mad at FTR. Now, I don't actually remember why this happened. Why did the FTR burst in? What did the Bucks ever do to them?
Matt had the belt, then he was gonna do a cheating with it.
Oh, but that's his right.
Yeah.
I don't understand. FTR, don't make everything your business. Sometimes, like, it's like, I also think, just like, let people be.
How can you be mad at Matt? Sometimes when Matt has the belt and he's, like, threatening people with it, his vibe is very much like an old lady about to hit somebody with their purse.
Which you should always allow to happen. Oh, yeah, so. Absolutely.
And shouldn't FTR want the Acclaim to get taken out by the belt? Like, then they'd get to go to Wembley, right? So.
Yeah, and so. Oh, no, maybe that's. They don't want. What do they want? Now, what do FTR want?
It's so hard to
want?
Say what FTR well, ever wants.
If they were. If they had normal thought processes, then yeah, Anne's right. If the Acclaim lost, then potentially, like, FTR would be the actual. Number one contenders who would get the title shot at Wembley.
But there's no valor in winning the titles off of the Acclaimed. I love you. I'm sorry, Anthony Bowens.
No apology to Max Caster, though.
Well, he did look really cute this week, and he hasn't said anything offensive in a while, so he could be making a comeback.
He is making a comeback.
The thing about Max Caster at the end of the day is he is... one of the most beautiful men.
It's crazy, actually.
Yeah. You'll ever see.
I feel like I've seen, like, multiple men being like, Max Caster's mustache is so silly. And I was like, no, Max Caster, get it.
It looks really good. We're not always happy to say it because he's so often saying things that make you have to keep these thoughts private. Like, I can't tell anyone that I think these things. But then when he's not saying those things, it's easy to come out and say... hubba hubba. Okay, yeah. Mister. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Please. Break me off a piece of that. So what were we talking about? Indeed,
I think we
what
got, like,
were
a
we talking about?
Into the recap.
Well, be nice about it, but I will invite people, if you want to tell us what the FTR thought process was, you can tell us. But don't be mean. Be nice, okay? Afterwards, the Acclaimed were really mad at FTR because I guess they were like, we were going to win, which you weren't. And FTR seemed mad at the Acclaimed. And backstage, Vice Principal Christopher Daniels, brow furrowed, is watching on the monitor. And he
was
just
wearing such a Vice Principal outfit, like the button down. And Renee was wearing that flowered dress, which was, I really liked it, Renee. But she also did look like she might also be a Vice Principal.
She's your prettiest English teacher, maybe. Yeah. Like, you're just like, wow, I love being in Miss Paquette's class.
Yeah.
She's the best. And he just looked so worried, and it's like it looked kind of like he was reviewing the tape, like a food fight had broken out in the cafeteria, and he's trying to figure out who he can blame, because depending on who he blames, prom might get canceled. Yeah. And he isn't sure, because it's not on the tape, so he's like, what am I gonna do? I don't know if they get to have prom or not. And he says the issue is... that who is the number one contender who will fight the Bucks at Wembley? And they're going to solve it by FTR and the Acclaimed fighting on Collision this week. And the winner of that match will fight the Bucks at Wembley. And what do you think will happen, girls? Yes, that's so true.
One of these, like, well, so best case scenario, the Acclaimed win, but probably it's a three-way, and I hate it, so... Yeah.
And worst case scenario, FTR actually win. And actually in that case, we take to the streets.
Ugh.
We throw our TVs out the window.
We can't be doing that again. Not again.
You can't do that. You cannot do that to
cannot
us.
Do that to me again. Yeah.
It's not appropriate.
I just don't think I can bear it if I have to watch that again.
It's bleh, repulsive.
Just watching this match on Dynamite, I was like, I had such a good time. I was like, wow, to watch the Bucks fight someone who's not FTR, it's like it's a dream. It's a beautiful dream. I was having so much fun. Felt so fond of the Acclaimed.
Yeah, it was a really good match.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about some of the scuttlebutt in the community this week? What did Brian Alvarez say?
That the previous love of my life and now my least favorite person in the world, Barry Bloom, apparently negotiated as part of the Bucks' contracts that they have limited dates, and that either Tony has used them up already, which if so, fuck you, or he doesn't want to use them, which I don't think the people were speculating.
We might want to save them for something.
Yeah, and I was like, please, spend it.
big money if he goes over.
What did we just say to you, Tony? Did we not say that the Bucks are not made to be a crumb?
Right.
Did we not say that the Bucks are not made? We don't save them for a special occasion. We use them every week. And when we sign them to a beautiful big contract that they deserve, we ask ourselves, oh, okay, if they get extra money for extra dates, am I prepared to pay so that they can wrestle on every single show this year? And you should be. And I'm afraid that's got to go in the budget. We're putting it in the cart. We're paying for it with the Platinum Amex, okay? Mm-hmm. We pay our Young Bucks, and we pay them well. Bucks.
Yes.
That's all. I mean, that's all. I can't not be seeing the Young Bucks and having to listen to the community complain about the Young Bucks not coming to work and listen to Darby Allin complain about the Young Bucks not coming to work because, Tony, you are too cheap to pay the Young Bucks what they deserve and what Barry Bloom negotiated for them. So true. Pay the men.
And even with this limited dates thing, why am I not seeing Jungle Boy? Why am I not seeing Okada?
Yes.
What's going on?
Why am I not seeing these men? If the problem is the gimmick, then the gimmick's gotta go.
Gotta go.
I've had my fun with the gimmick. We have been proponents of the gimmick from day one. We have celebrated its successes. We have wept over its inadequacies in the past few weeks of not seeing the men. We must see the men.
If the
gimmick
men.
Is the problem, the gimmick's gotta go.
I think we can all agree. New gimmick, less shirts.
New nude gimmick. New sexy nude gimmick.
Send nudes. Send nude Young Bucks to ring.
Send nude Bucks.
Yeah. Tony opening the mail this week to that message. I wanted a plaque. You know what? You can have a plaque you can have a special plaque that I'm inventing called Booked Young Bucks Good 2 months straight.
Wow.
If you do it, you could get a
shoot for.
You can get a really nice plaque. Tony, I'll make the plaque myself. I will craft it with my arts and crafts materials.
Wow.
Booked Young Bucks Good 2 months straight.
It's gotta be for 2 months straight.
No mistakes.
God,
one mistake, really... we start over. New 2 months.
We're going to start keeping a little tracker. It has been X days of good Young Bucks booking. Just reset it whenever we have a week like last week. The Bucks, you don't get another day of booking.
We go back to zero. We all want it to be 200 days of amazing Young Bucks booking, but the journey of a million miles begins with a single step. One mere week of good booking. And this was a good, aside from the FDR stuff, you're dicey there, but we saw them. They wrestled. They did a great job. They did what they always do, which is it's like you haven't seen them in a million years, and they come out and Matt Jackson sticks his little tongue out like, I'm a bad boy. And the crowd just goes all limp and goo goo gaga. The crowd is just like, oh, we just do exactly what you say. We're supposed to, oh, you want us to boo you? We'll boo you. We love watching the Young Bucks. Me too.
Yeah. It was really funny for like the whole community to be like, the Young Bucks are cold. The Young Bucks are cold. They're just cold and they're stale. And it's like, they get out there and it's like, give them a couple minutes.
They're fine. Genuinely, they have an extremely impressive grasp of crowd control. That it's like, there aren't that many other wrestlers that we see regularly that I'm like, wow, whatever. It's like Christian also is like this. It's like, whatever you want the crowd to do, they do it. You just make them do it by being really good at your job. That's amazing.
Oh, and Swerve now with the
yes.
Wow. But that's a development
we've seen that. Yes. And you know how we got there? By dragging Brian Danielson's limp body up.
Just those dead weight lifts. Yeah.
Brian Danielson, arms folded across his chest. He says, this is for your own good.
Swerve's doing push-ups with a limp Brian Danielson on his back. Brian being like, you're welcome, buddy. You're
welcome. Oh, Lord in heaven. What else? Anything else to say about this? Was Dax wearing a crop top? Didn't it seem like a weird length? It wasn't like cropped, it wasn't a normal length either.
Yeah.
Kind of seemed like he forgot a shirt and he had to borrow one.
If it was somebody else, I would think it was a crop top and I'd think, ooh, that's fun. But with Dax, you're just like, pack your wife's shirt, buddy.
He was in a strange middle ground. Billy Gunn, also present. You want to say anything about it? Strange. I wouldn't have involved him, but it's fine.
It's been nice with Acclaim to going back to tags instead of trios, but I feel like we could put Billy Gunn, you know, to bed while we're doing that.
I did laugh at that one little segment where, like, Matt, like, was rounding the corner of the ring and saw Billy Gunn and started backing up and was like, oh, not fucking with you, not fucking with you. And then he turned the corner and Max Caster was standing there and then he was like, oh, no, I'm caught between two equally horrifying situations. And I was like, don't, let's be real. Max Caster is half the size of Billy Gunn.
It's like, you'll be fine there. I would go with that.
I would go for Max Caster if it was me.
And the Nick spot was funny. But it's like, did we need it? I would say no. I guess I don't think Billy Gunn had to be there.
No.
I don't think it was very additive, yeah.
No. But I guess that's just our opinion.
I wish Anthony Bowens' twink boyfriend instead was like following them around the ring.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Okay, that's fun. Get her in the booking chair. Okay, anything else about no, let's move on. To conglomeration and on and on and on and on. I thought it was a good one. Every week I'm innovating. Kyle, Roddy, and Orange Cassidy had a three-way match for the number one contendership for the Casino Gauntlet match. Does that mean you come out last?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want
my son to win that and he comes out last?
I want to see my son for the maximum time possible.
I don't even care. I it's fine if he loses. He should be on screen for as long as possible.
That's the real competition. Yeah.
He should come out first. He should stay till the end. OC was back in his black t-shirt goth boy mode. Very good sign in the crowd. Goth mode.
Yeah. Goth mode. Loved it.
Every other member of the United Kingdom and Ishii and Mark Briscoe ran out at one point. We've seen them every week. It's no insult to the men, but we've seen you every week.
Not just seen them. We've seen them doing the identical things every week.
Yes, the
just
same.
Like a little ritualistic. Oh, here's the run.
Ah, here they are. Now, it must be 9:15. Here they are. Can either of you explain the ending of this match that I didn't really understand what Manolo said?
I can't.
I think that what Manolo said, and you listening on your walk, you may be like, well, you watched the show. I don't know what I saw, okay? I think that Manolo said that the way the match ended was that OC, like, shoved Kyle O'Reilly out of the way and took Roddy's knee or something, Roddy's high knee, like his cool, really powerful high knee. So he thought he was saving Kyle, but then he turned the knee into a sneaky roll up or something. And so he ended up winning the match, but even though, so he's trying to be nice to Kyle, but Kyle was really upset about losing the match and he was beating the mat and just like really mad, and then he kind of brushed it aside and said, okay, congratulations, Orange Cassidy, but you thought, there's a darkness in him. There. Yeah.
And he thought he won earlier because OC got double pinned by Roddy and Kyle at the same time. So, but that's against the rules. That doesn't count.
You can't win with a double pin, but you can have a lot of fun. Many are saying. So Kyle is maybe on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And do you think that he is?
I'd like him to hit that stage. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see him melt down.
Yeah. I'm ready to see really any movement from these guys in terms of what they're doing. I'd love to see something progress in some direction.
We got to go somewhere with it. I think our friend Mary did say, and this is a good point, and I had been saying, like, throughout the match, I was like, I got to see Kyle heel turn. I got to see him turn on Orange Cassidy. I would love to watch him and Roddy murder Orange Cassidy and leave him crying alone with the worst year of his life, and they just go off and do their dumb shit. And Mary was like, well, the thing is that Kyle likes Mark Briscoe so much that it's just not believable at this point that he would turn on Mark Briscoe for Roderick Strong. And I said to myself, that is true. That is true. And I don't know what to do about that. Yeah. Is that what Mary said? Did I make that up that she said that?
Yeah, no, she said that. Did and she said that, like, because in ROH, like, Roddy and Kyle were always together, people are always, like, booking them to get back together. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, everybody today, like, I just saw it very strongly and from a lot of people being like, Kyle O'Reilly is another one of the ROH crew. He's an ROH guy. He's from ROH. All of a sudden, like, I know he was on ROH, but I feel like up until today, everyone was, like, calling him NXT.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden today, everyone was like, well, when you think of Kyle O'Reilly, the first thing you think of is ROH. I was like, when did we decide that today?
Yeah, I would not have associated him with ROH.
Maybe Roddy's leaking it so that he'll get a push from Tony Khan. He's like, you know what people really think of me from? It's ROH.
It's ROH. Me and Kyle. Something's gotta give here, okay?
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now,
I would like it to progress Orange Cassidy's little emotional breakdown, too. Because he really is, like, he's sad and he's rage-filled. Like, his shitty kicks went into furious kicks really fast this time.
He did some great stuff in that match.
He was mad. Yeah, so let's juice it up.
I mean, every time we complain about this storyline not going anywhere, OC is doing the work every single week. He is playing his character every single week. I have no complaints about what he's up to. I am watching a man slowly get pushed to the brink of madness by his own misery. Been there, buddy. He's really not the problem. The problem is just when it's the same match every week.
With the same promo and the same run out. Yeah.
Same promo, same run out. But all these men are going to be in the gauntlet.
I don't think they've announced. When you look at Cage Match, even now, it just says Orange Cassidy is the only announced person in the gauntlet.
I'm not looking forward to the gauntlet that much because I think that's where everyone thinks that Tony is going to debut all his many bought that we don't want. Where he's going to debut the men that we didn't put in the cart. Those weren't even on our wish list.
It's so funny that Tony's like, hi guys, I'm back from the store, and we're like, did you get us Motor City Machine Guns? Did you pay for the Lucha Brothers? And he's like, no, I got Ricochet, and we're like, get out.
I got Bobby Lashley. I don't know who that is. I don't want to meet him. I don't want him, Tony.
This is like when my best friend, when her son was like 4, he finally got old enough so that the like Google Home like could understand what he was saying, and his parents would put stuff on the grocery list via that, so he discovered he could put stuff on the grocery list. So they were like, yeah, we'd open up the grocery list and it would be like normal, you know, like bread, milk, eggs, and then it'd be like graham crackers like over and over. And then, but he didn't realize that they, like, look at the grocery list before they, like, put in the grocery order. He thought it just went straight to the store. So, like, the groceries would arrive and he'd, like, run to the bags and then be really disappointed. And that's us with Tony Khan right now. We're, like, he's reading down the list. He's, like, Motor City Machine Guns, Motor City Machine Guns, Motor City Machine Guns. He's, like, that's crazy.
What do they think I'm made of money?
He's taking them off the list. And then we run up to the bags and we're, like, Bobby Lashley.
We're like, well, but it looks like you picked up some treats for yourself. It looks like you picked up some adult treats for yourself.
This is only anything adult for your treats. Girl. No ice cream for girls, just vodka for grown-ups.
I see we got a nice six-pack of weed seltzers, but no ice cream for girls.
I just wanted a little graham cracker to make my life a little bit better, but no.
Jesus, just put him in the car. Just pay him the money. Pay them the money. Pay the tag teams the money. As I said earlier, I feel sick when I see only two men in the ring. I want to see 4 men in the ring, and I want them to be well-paid men.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all I want. I just want a thriving tag team division.
4 healthy and good-looking men.
Four men who can afford any kind of beauty treatments they need.
Beard, face, body, butt. 4. well-moisturized men.
We don't ask for much.
Oh, you can put six in there, too. You can have four or you can have six. And you can get special dispensation for some matches with two men, but I need to see the men ahead of time. And you cannot swap them out at the last minute just because I'm not at Gorilla.
Now, those will be limited dates.
Very limited two-man matches. I want you to think of a two-man match as a really special treat, a rare special treat.
And the thing is, that like, it's like you're going to have to convince me. So, like, I want you to put so much thought in it, you could do a PowerPoint on why you think you deserve a two-man match.
In fact, I want you to make the PowerPoint. Simply
I'd love
make
Tony
the PowerPoint.
To give me a PowerPoint to try to talk me into a singles match.
He's like, here's why.
These guys, they're so good. Okay, it's Claudio. And we're like, I don't know.
It doesn't work for me, brother. Oh, if we ran the zoo, my friends.
It would be different. There would be different problems.
It would be different. For sure, there'd be different problems. Yeah. I don't know that the line would be going straight up, but it'd be doing something different,
you think,
probably.
We're kind of the Molotov cocktails of the wrestling community.
Tony's talking to Dave Meltzer, and he's like, yeah, everyone was on me about, like, WWE shit and, like, not, like, selling out stadiums. So I gave the book to three girls who learned about wrestling 4 years ago, and it was just, bam, just like that. I had different problems.
Oh,
it is sort of delightful to think about how infuriated we would probably make the IWC if we were booking.
Yeah, they would not be happy.
Mm-mm.
But there would be a small, but very
small
vocal subset excited. Who would be fucking incandescent.
The thing about us is if we got just a few of the things that we wanted, we pretty much know for a fact, because we've gotten them before, everything else is gravy. Then we're goofing about everything else. We didn't like it, but we're like, oh, I was excited when they played that match I didn't like because I went and got a little treat from the fridge. I ate some berries. We just need a couple things we like. And
we
then
just want a few berries.
Just a few berries. Tony, graham crackers. What did we had one episode where we were... we were in the car with Dave Meltzer and Tony Khan in the scenario.
I don't remember that episode.
Tony was driving and Dave and we and Dave were all crying and being like, Tony, give us what we want.
I think that was the week that Dave realized that Will Ospreay was probably not going to win the title at All In, and he was so sad. We were just talking about him being in the back of Tony's minivan, like, but I won a special point to get the belt.
I feel like that might have been it. For some reason, I thought it was longer ago, but we'll never find it, so who knows? Okay, we can take as little or as much time as we want. Well, not as much time as we want, but we can go light or heavy on these. These are what I've called the promos and brawls. There were no matches in here. There's just talking and boxing. No, okay. Claudio and Okada squared off backstage, both in ill-fitting suits. And Claudio said that Okada's championship means a lot to him. I always felt like it was my title. It was not, though.
No, I don't think he's ever held it.
You know, when he said it, I wasn't interested, but now that I've read that back, I'm like, that's crazy, so that's fun.
It's also funny that he said, quote, it bothered me when I wasn't successful in the tournament. This is from the Brian Danielson School of Promos. It's like, well, I was a little concerned by that. So that's a heightened emotion, right?
It made me a little peaky, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny because it's like, guys, these are really healthy modes of expression. And I'm really glad if this is the way that you communicate in your personal life. But on screen, I'm going to need you to get absolutely wackadoo crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need you to say you're mad as hell.
Never thought I would say this, but we really have a plague of well-adjusted men on our screens lately.
It's disgusting.
Nasty. It's not why we go here. Okada said, I'm the champion. I'm a 4-time G1 winner. You'll respect me when I beat you next week on Dynamite. Claudio said, I want the true Okada next week, not this bootleg version. And then he did his bitch line. I mean, he did a fun bit. I don't know why I didn't read the rest. I was just like, why am I reading this whole thing? He did a good line. I'm sorry, Claudio. Do you want to read it? You can read it if you want. Does anyone want to read it? Or?
For a minute there, I thought you were, like, talking to Okada. Being like, Okada, you can do it. You can do it. If you want to do your line reading for us on the pod, yeah, you can do that.
Well, we don't have to read it. Anyway, I thought this was kind of a crazy segment. They, very low energy.
Yeah, they didn't bring a lot of heat to this one.
No. Horrible suits. Absolutely phenomenally ugly suits.
This isn't a complaint. It's honestly not. When Okada is not with... When he's with the Bucks, he's very relaxed and chill and clearly having a really good time. When he's with literally anybody else, you just really become aware that he's like, hello, I am famous Okada on my retirement, like, golden, you know, parachute out of real wrestling, and now I just do goofs.
Yeah, that's true. And it's, like, somehow was emphasized by Claudio, who also is bringing nothing to the table and just, like, so clearly radiating, I'm just here to have fun and to respect people. But you want me to be a little mean? I will do it. For you, Tony. What Tony asked for, he gets. Okay, nothing else to say about that, maybe. Mariah cut an absolute banger of a promo. This is like a pre-tape package. Mm-hmm. They did not quote a single line of it on the AllElitewrestling.com recap.
Outrageous.
Well, they just quote one line. They quoted one line.
This was one of the best written promos, I thought, that I've seen. Like, it was just really, like, I was horned up for a lot of the lines here.
Yes.
And, like, they had great background music and, like, all these intense visuals of burning things. And, I mean.
Felt indulged. Last week I said, why can't I have sexy fire when it's been introduced? It's the gun on the wall, but you won't do any sexy fire imagery. And Mariah said, hold my lighter. Thank you. Killer. I'll take another anytime.
I loved when she said, I've copied all of your successes and none of your mistakes.
Hello. Yeah.
That ruled.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it was so well written. It was just like very like clean, no editing needed, perfect length of time, had the heat. And also every single thing that she said, about like I copied your successes but never your mistakes. She said something about how like you'll be obsessed with me forever. I'll never think about you again. Mm. It was all stuff that it's like, and in a perfect world, that's got to come back and bite you in the ass. There is going to be a day when you are the shoe is on the other foot, and you the mask is cracking and you are going insane. Because you can't stop thinking about, like, losing to her, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah. The amount of psychosexual, intense, crazy issues in this. These women are not well-adjusted, and that makes for great wrestling storytelling.
Oh, it's so good.
No one's mildly bothered in this one.
I was a little bothered. I was a little perplexed.
Totally. Mariah, when you turned on me, I was a little confused and a little bothered.
I wasn't sure why you would do that, but it is what you did.
It is what it is, I guess.
Shall we do Darby JB?
Yeah.
Darby. Darby got, it was kind of like an art film / normal promo crossover. Like, he was giving, like, a real promo. But in an art film, wearing his jacket and skateboarding down a street.
He loves that jacket so much.
I love it, too. Off for months. Every time I see him in it, I do feel pleasure. So I can't begrudge him that. Now, this is where I reached a bit of an impediment in my ability to do the schedule. So why don't you guys tell me how you felt about Darby's promo?
I didn't care for it. I liked the parts where he was calling JB like privileged and like, you know, that he hasn't, like, he doesn't know what suffering is or whatever. But I really hate the shoot stuff. I really hate we can't be talking about All In last year. Like, he was like, you should have gotten fired for what you did at Wembley last year. And it's like, I don't want to be hearing that. I don't.
No.
Darby tends to use shoot stuff in a really bad way. Usually it's just like, it's not It's bad for the storyline. And this is one thing where I was like, if this gimmick, like the alignments are still fucked because they keep making Punk the good guy. And it's like, we just need to throw it all in the garbage at this point and like reconfigure what we're doing, because we're not even doing anything except bad stuff at this point.
Yeah. Well, and especially because it's like, again, so Darby's being like, I realized when they hired you that, like, this was just going to be nepotism 101. What did he say? He was like, I thought this was going to be a place where you could really be yourself. But then yeah. It turns out it's just a place where the Young Bucks hire their friends. And it was, it really was like, and I don't even get that mad at Darby. I've said this many times. I'm just like, well, it's just, you got a couple little brain cells that you're rubbing together and you're doing the best you can. But I did want to sit him down and just be like, well, we can't say that every week. We can't only say that every week, especially not when I'm on the internet hammering my keys, keyboard warrior style, being like, they need to be on TV. Mm-hmm. We can't have a whole plot line about how they are lazy because they're not on TV. They should be on TV. Mm-hmm. They need to be on TV. Yeah. Jack Perry should be wrestling for me at least every other week.
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy. Good business to point out your promotion's biggest weakness.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I'm a business
That could
girl.
Drive the line straight down into hell.
People hear that careful. And they're like, yeah. Turn it off that television set. Touching that dial.
God, no. We can't reward this. Yeah. And then we had, JB attacked Darby backstage and, like, cranked a door onto him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I liked that very much. That,
that was fun. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is that they are also going to do a good match. And I've anytime they've actually physically interacted, it's been good. It's just that, like, JB learned how to promo and then immediately stopped doing that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Darby is giving the world's most insane promos.
Yeah. It's been really frustrating to watch JB's momentum just, like,
yeah.
get undercut, basically, because now he's just not doing anything. It's like, it was a bummer.
It would be really fun for JB to be in the C2. Yeah, I wish the C2 were happening now. I'm like really needing that hit.
We're getting towards C2 season though.
Yeah. We're getting closer.
Can't come soon enough.
I keep thinking about how last year Rich was like, they really need to make a production out of it and do like a fake press conference where they announce the participants and like announce that the tournament is going to happen a month before it actually does, and then have people giving promos about how like they're hoping that like Vice President Principal Chris Daniels chooses them.
Tony, we're just going to throw a couple miles of red carpet in the cart. We're going to book a venue. We'll put that in the cart. We'll get it all sorted out. So you don't worry about a thing, but just factor it, put it, write it down in your booking book from hell. In the trios department, I think that the only thing I really want to comment on is Christian Cage's beautiful outfit.
Oh my god. He's wearing a ref shirt that was a turtleneck, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said, Anne, that's attention to detail. And
yeah.
He's Christian, doing the work. You're doing the work. And I pray to God that Adam Copeland, that you are healing very fast, really fast, speedy.
Yeah. When did he break his leg? Was it for Pindor?
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
It's not that long ago. That's such a bummer. I was like, surely the 9 months are over. It feels like 100 years.
Kind of did feel like we're probably getting close.
No, we're not close at all. And Eddie's stupid leg also.
No. When did that happen? Surely we're at least 6 months into that one.
I feel like that one was not long before a cope.
Oh my God. Was it right before Forbidden Door? Oh, Anne. No.
I think it was.
Anne, no. No. Time has...
May of 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was May. May 11th in New Japan. That's such a bummer.
I have to go. Okay. Well, fine. MJF and Ospreay had a very long pre-tape.
It's amazing. Even when MJF has a pre-tape, it goes on too long. It's just
that was crazy. Incredible. I was like, are we like wasting time on purpose?
Yeah.
filibustering. It's all the rage. It was really long, and I got a little... It's fine. It's kind of like it's whatever. I got a little annoyed in the middle because I was watching Ospreay do, like, his sit-down interview on the couch, and I was like, wow, Ospreay had a lot of energy earlier this year, and I think he will again. It'll be very easy. He's just a very likable golden retriever, so he can get the energy back, but this isn't really not what he needed, in my opinion.
No, it's been, like, just a real not much to work with kind of perplexing feud, really.
Yeah, this one is also kind of selfish.
Yeah, it is. But I guess it's less surprising.
Yeah.
Not to be mean. Like, Bryan Danielson, I thought you were better than this, but MJF, I knew you weren't. And finally, does somebody want to say the standout line from our Hook Jericho Redux promo? You don't want to say it? Tony, I can't see out of this eye! I can't believe both so my co-hosts funny. Just shook their heads. No, I don't think so.
Well, I wasn't sure if you meant that line or the shove him up Taz's asshole.
Oh,
stuff.
No, yes, no, I forgot about my new phrase that I'll be using all the time.
We're just going to be integrating it into our everyday life where, like, when completely normal people insult us, we'll be like, shove it up Taz's ass.
You're going up Taz's asshole. Because I think he said he'd put him up there. He said he was going to put Hook up Taz's asshole, which is incredibly inappropriate.
That's his dad.
It's his literal dad.
Do you think that I can't see out of this eye was supposed to be a high comedy line from Hook?
Dude. I thought it was until Mary speculated that it wasn't intended to be funny, and that
I didn't think it was. After he said it and the crowd burst into laughter, I immediately was like, "Do you think he thought that they would laugh?" And I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so.
I didn't really think so either, but it was so funny though the way he said it.
Well, I think that's all we got. Did I miss anything that you really, really wanted to talk about?
No.
No. It was so nice.
Leah looks like she's falling asleep right now. She won't even look
okay.
at us.
Can I tell you guys a secret? Me too, and all of our listeners. Yeah. I remember how I'm always like, oh yeah, the weed seltzer kicks in so slow. And you can just kind of sip at it and you're completely fine. I can't explain why, but this weed seltzer hit me so hard. And then I was filibustering, so we started the podcast late.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the Swerve Danielson section, I was like,
that was so long ago.
Yeah, so high.
That does explain what's going on with you, because for at least the past 15 minutes, Leah has just been looking down at the desk, and I kept being like, I think she's on Discord.
Yeah, it's like, is just someone texting her? What's going on?
She's DMing on the pod. Oh, well, we all have the right to get too high on our podcast sometimes.
And we'll fight for our right.
In the electric atmosphere of Wembley Stadium. Okay. So nothing I missed.
No.
It was so nice to have a nice week of Dynamite where I saw men that I enjoyed do wrestling.
I agree. It was a really nice week. Manolo only gave this... he said that because there were two title matches where no one won a title, he said... The title matches died with a fizzle, okay? And then he gave the episode a B. I was like, this is the first A that we've had in about 4 months, Manolo. Just chill, buddy.
Why is a B such a funny grade for us? I don't know. I gave it about a B.
I think it was like after you were like, two big matches fizzled out. B.
Who are the two big matches that fizzled out?
Title was Bucks. That wasn't a fizzle. It was a great match. And who else had a title? Mercedes. Was that a title match?
He hated the ending on both. Is that what he's complaining about?
I don't know. I think he was just whining.
Yeah, he probably didn't like the interference stuff is probably what it was.
I don't think anybody liked the interference at the end of the Bucks acclaimed one, but I was sort of like, we all, like, what else were they going to do?
Yeah, it's, sometimes stuff happens and you're just so, you're just like, of course, that's what this was booked for. It shouldn't be happening, but once you're here, it's going to happen. Okay, on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Gorgon. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, or you can find us on the Social Suplex. I've got to rewrite this. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of our other great sister and brother podcasts on the network. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we hang out and people post really fun stuff in our channel. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast, which I already said. And as always, you must stay frosty. You have no choice. And also, as always, you've got to come back next week to see if we can do it again.